This video is brought to you by ExpressVPN. Go to expressvpn.com/Merle to see how you can get 3 months free, and stay tuned after the video for more info. Hello everybody, I'm Dan Merle, here with an update on the future of one of the oldest studios in Hollywood, Paramount Pictures. I last did a video back in mid-February. I think the name of that video was Paramount's Days Are Numbered, and it was centered around the fact that it seemed primed for a merger or an acquisition, and in the ensuing weeks, it seems like both are now on the table. There were lots of questions about what the future of Paramount would be, and now we're down to basically two options, with a third less likely option. So let's break down those two options. Which two companies are looking at taking over at Paramount, and what does it mean if they go with either deal? There was a flurry of rumors at the end of last year that Paramount and Warner Brothers Discovery could merge, which would have brought us from 5 major studios down to 4 major studios. And I thought that that was very unlikely at the time, because Warner Brothers Discovery has been so focused on cutting their debt load, and bringing on Paramount Pictures would add so much to the debt. However, the idea of going from 5 to 4 major studios is still very much alive, and it's part of what we're gonna discuss. Of the people I talked about back in February as possible buyers for Paramount, the one that's emerged really is David Ellison, who is one of 2 front runners to acquire National Amusements, the parent company of Paramount Global. And let's talk about David Ellison's proposal first. David Ellison, if you don't know, is the founder, chairman, and CEO of Skydance Media, whose studio arm has produced or co-produced movies like Top Gun Maverick, Air, World War Z, Star Trek Into Darkness, Star Trek Beyond, and every Mission Impossible movie since 2011's Ghost Protocol. Back in April, David Ellison and Skydance entered a 30-day exclusive negotiation window with Paramount Global to see if they could come to terms for what's essentially a merger of those two companies. And that would expand Skydance's production capabilities, as well as giving them full access to all of Paramount's intellectual property, a lot of which they were already producing anyway. Now, the idea of a merger and not an acquisition was unpopular with a lot of Paramount shareholders, some of whom even filed legal action against the company, feeling that the deal was not in shareholders' best interests, which we'll get into. So what exactly is in the alleged best and final offer that Skydance made to Paramount? Well, according to details reported into the media, the deal includes a $3 billion cash infusion directly into Paramount Global, which would help to wipe a lot of debt off of the books, would help to make the company more investable, just get that gone right away. And Skydance technically would be acquired by Paramount in an all-stock deal, although David Ellison and the team behind Skydance would have control over the company. However, and this is where it gets complicated, Ellison and his interests would be in control because their proposal includes a buyout of Sherry Redstone, who's the head of Paramount Global and its parent company, National Amusement. She considers it basically a family business. Redstone holds the majority of what are known as Class A shares, about 77% of the Class A shares. And Class A shares basically have voting power. You can control the company's direction. You can decide whether to merge with another company or have another company buy you out. And the problem here is that a lot of the shareholders in the company are Class B shareholders. Class B shareholders are people that are invested in the company but do not have that voting right. And those Class B shareholders aren't necessarily happy with the direction that Paramount Global has been going. Warren Buffett was one of the biggest Class B shareholders, and he recently divested himself of all of his Paramount investments, which is a possibility we talked about several months ago, because he just wanted out, even though he took what he described as a pretty big financial loss. So if the Skydance deal were to go through, Ellison and his investors would essentially buy Sherry Redstone's shares out. She would walk away a billionaire, but all of the shareholders in the company that have Class B shares would still just be invested in the company. They wouldn't really see a whole lot of benefit from this buyout immediately on the financial side. Skydance sweetened their deal shortly before the exclusivity window ended, upping their cash infusion to $3 billion from $1 billion, and also offering to buy an unreported number of Class B shares in addition to Redstone's Class A shares to try to calm down the other investors. And Redstone is said to be in favor of Skydance's proposal because it keeps the company together, which, as I mentioned, she considers a family business. However, a large number of the Class B shareholders don't like this deal because they don't see any immediate compensation, and they're basically still on the ride with the new Paramount Skydance team up, hoping that the investment boosts their shares and that they can eventually make money. One of the lawsuits that was filed requested all materials regarding the Skydance negotiations, saying that the Paramount Board of Directors, quote, has failed to prevent Sherry Redstone from diverting corporate opportunities or interfering with Paramount's ability to seek the best deal for Paramount and its other stockholders. This has caused tension not just with shareholders, but other major executives inside Paramount Global. Shortly after the Skydance exclusivity window began, four members of the Paramount Global Board of Directors announced that they would not stand for re-election in June. Some of those members reportedly had concerns about the Skydance deal. And on April 29th, Bob Bakish, the CEO of Paramount Global, was ousted. Bakish also reportedly was concerned that any deal that was reached would benefit all shareholders and not just Redstone. Of course, Bakish gets to stay on board as an advisor for a certain amount of time and will walk away with tens of millions of dollars because, hey, that's how corporate America works. Had Paramount made that deal with Skydance during the exclusivity window when they were not considering any other offers or negotiating with anybody else, I think that that would have prompted a flurry of lawsuits from investors, but that's not what happened. The exclusivity window expired last Friday without a deal, and it was initially said that the Skydance-Paramount deal was dead, that it wasn't going to happen.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too. Like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
But this week, it was reported that the Skydance deal was still on the table, alongside a new deal from another major suitor, or I should say two major suitors, Sony, who we all know, and an asset management firm called Apollo Global Management, which holds or has held investments in everything from ADT Home Security to Shutterfly to the burrito chain Qdoba. Apollo showed interest in acquiring Paramount as far back as January, and in March offered to buy the studio itself, not the entire company, just Paramount, for $11 billion, an offer that was rejected. Then in early April, Apollo offered to buy Paramount Global for $27 billion, but the company didn't engage with that offer, didn't even consider it. In mid-April, while Paramount was in its exclusivity window with Skydance, Sony and Apollo began planning to team up and make a similar joint offer that would involve a complete buyout of National Amusements and would take the company private. And if the company goes private, that means that all of the shareholders, Class A or Class B, get their money. They get basically bought out and the company goes on its own way. Last week, it was revealed that the Sony Apollo deal would be a $26 billion buyout, about $4 billion more than the company's current reported value. That would include assuming all of the company's debts. And again, all investors in Paramount would essentially get paid and walk away as the company went private. And under this reported deal, Sony would have the majority interest in the company and would merge Sony Pictures Entertainment with Paramount Pictures, which would take us down from five major studios down to four major studios. Remember, we went down from six to five when Fox and Disney merged, so it's the further consolidation of the Hollywood and entertainment scene. Now, the one thing that the company would have to do is divest itself of the actual CBS stations, broadcast stations, that are owned by Paramount Global, because there are U.S. regulations that say that foreign-controlled interests like Sony can't own U.S. broadcast stations. That's just one of many regulatory things that would have to be worked out if this deal were to go through. As you can imagine, shareholders tend to favor this deal because they'd get their money, not just Sherry Redstone. But Sherry Redstone doesn't want to see the company broken up. She doesn't want to see Paramount engulfed by another major studio and merged. Who knows if they'd even keep the Paramount name? They probably would keep it as a label like Disney has with Fox, but it would cease to become its own company. It's also worth noting that if Sony, Apollo, and Paramount were to merge their operations, we would almost certainly see at least thousands, probably tens of thousands of layoffs, similar to what happened when Disney acquired Fox, because you're going to have redundant departments and all of that. So that would be objectively bad for those people who have jobs in the entertainment industry that are going to get eliminated on top of all the eliminations and the strikes and everything that's gone on in the last few years. The other thing that I think is more possible with the Sony Apollo deal is that Paramount Global is disassembled, basically stripped for parts. Maybe they take CBS and sell that to somebody else. They keep Paramount Pictures along with Sony to up their production arm. You never really know what's going to happen. And especially as I've noticed, or as I've seen, not just in the entertainment industry, but everywhere else, when you have these asset management firms or private equity that are coming in and acquiring things, that's what they want to do. They want to sell off what they can. They don't care about what the institutional legacy is or anything like that. They basically just want to maximize their investment as soon as possible. The Sony Apollo deal would face major regulatory oversight, as the companies have several overlapping interests in addition to the legal questions regarding foreign ownership of certain assets that Paramount Global holds. While the Disney-Fox merger was approved, and you think, well, if the Justice Department approved that merger, then surely they'd approve this merger. We are under a different administration and a different Justice Department. And the Biden Justice Department specifically has been much more critical of mergers inside industries than we perhaps saw a few years ago. That's just part of the moving sands of politics. You never quite know if you're trying to do one of these big mergers politically, if it's a good time or a bad time to do one of these. And you don't know if you're going to get the sign-off. One thing that's unclear with either deal is the future of Paramount Plus. Paramount Global's quarter one financial report showed that streaming losses narrowed to $286 million from $500 million in the same quarter a year before. But will either Skydance or Sony and Apollo want to continue investing in the streaming side? Paramount has a deep well of very lucrative intellectual properties, and it's possible that either company would decide to essentially shut down Paramount Plus and instead license out all of that IP to other streaming services in order to get money coming in more quickly. Basically, stop investment in streaming altogether with their own service and shift it elsewhere. Sony in particular has avoided the whole quagmire of streaming in the last several years. They have Crunchyroll, which works well for them, but it's a much smaller, much more niche streaming service. They've done very well licensing their stuff out to Netflix. They've been one of the companies that didn't incur hundreds of millions of dollars of debt in trying to prop up one of these services. Are they going to want to continue investment in Paramount Plus? Maybe they'll decide that the legwork's been done on Paramount Plus and that if they continue to invest in it, then the streaming losses have peaked and that they'll start turning a profit more quickly, and so they'll decide to keep it. But honestly, that's the same game that a lot of other studios in town have been playing for the last few years, and most of them got burned. So especially, I think, with the Sony Apollo deal, Paramount Plus's future is even more in question than it already was. So what happens now? Well, unless news breaks early in the morning and makes this video instantly obsolete, Paramount is free to consider both offers and is free to negotiate with both parties. We don't really know which way they're going to break right now. Now, as I mentioned, shareholders obviously favor the Sony Apollo deal. Redstone favors the Skydance deal. And some high-profile people have also come out in favor of the Skydance deal, including James Cameron. And that's really not surprising because it keeps Paramount alive as its own entity, and it doesn't further consolidate an already consolidated Hollywood studio system. Creatives, I think, would probably be more supportive of David Ellison and Skydance taking over. I would also prefer to see the Skydance deal go through because I don't want another studio to get swallowed up. I don't want us to go from 5 to 4. I think one of the big things that's hurting Hollywood creatively right now is that the studios have gotten so big that they're afraid to take risks. You have too many stakeholders and shareholders and people in the boardroom and people getting mixed up. And I think that's been to the detriment of a lot of movies and to the movie business itself. David Ellison does seem to have a genuine passion for movies and the film business, and I'd prefer to see him get a shot at running the studio over it being merged with Sony. But I think that the Sony Apollo deal is far more likely to go through. Maybe it's the cynic winning out in me, but I think the idea of a free and independent Paramount is just too idyllic for the current situation in Hollywood. Sherry Redstone would face a firestorm of controversy if she walked away and left the other stockholders with their stock, hoping that it goes up when they all could have been paid out again, maybe even more than the market value of that stock. I think it could have led to lawsuits like we saw already, and it just seems to be that this is the momentum of the entertainment industry. I think the one major thing that could happen would be those those regulatory issues. Maybe in their due diligence phase, if Sony and Apollo saw that getting it approved was going to be too much of a headache, then they call off the deal because it would be more time and trouble than it's worth. Any kind of lengthy delay would be very expensive, especially when there's no guarantee that it actually happens in the end. There is, though, as I mentioned earlier in the video, a third option, and it's one that some people have floated, which is that Paramount could say no to both offers. They could say, no thank you Skydance, no thank you Sony Apollo, in the hopes that they either A, get a better deal further down the road, or that they can navigate these waters on their own, that they're in trouble right now, but that they can get back to a much stronger position. However, this decision would likely inflict even further damage to the company, either short-term, long-term, or both, because first of all, the stock price would absolutely tumble because it has really only gone up recently or stayed stable on the fact that investors think that there is a merger or acquisition that is imminent. If they were to say, well, no, it's not going to happen, I think that it would tumble. It would make the company even less investable. It would make the shareholders even angrier. And again, is Sherry Redstone going to want to deal with that firestorm? Does she have the patience for it, or would she rather just cash out either way? Maybe there is somebody out there that could make a better offer, but I think that the valuation of the company would fall so much if they were to say no to both Skydance and Sony Apollo that a $26 billion offer today could turn into a $17 billion offer 6 months or a year down the road. I think that Paramount is going to take one of these offers. Who knows which one is going to win out? But in the case that they don't, then I think that we're going to be covering Paramount drama right here on the channel for many, many years to come. So that's the latest update on Paramount Global and the possible future of Paramount Pictures. What do you think? Which offer do you think they're going to take? Do you think they're going to tell them both to kick rocks and try to chart their own course? Let me know down in the comments below. And before we go, I'm going to thank the sponsor for this video, ExpressVPN. This episode's brought to you by ExpressVPN. If you're like me, you use your phone for everything. Ordering food, checking out at the big box store, booking your rideshare, leaving angry messages at the Academy for not nominating Toni Collette. Okay, well, that last one might just be me. But did you know that the phone companies collect data on what you're doing? They say it's to better understand your interests, but really all they want to do is sell that info to advertisers. Why help them cash in when you can protect your activity with ExpressVPN? ExpressVPN is an app that prevents your phone carrier from being able to see the sites you visit and sell it off to third parties. All it takes is one tap of a button and all of your network data gets encrypted and rerouted through ExpressVPN's secure servers for ultimate privacy. iPhone, Android, tablet, it doesn't matter. ExpressVPN works on all your devices, and the best part is one subscription can be used on up to 5 devices at the same time. When your phone carrier tracks you, that's a gross invasion of privacy. You can either keep letting him cash in on you, or you can visit expressvpn.com/Merle to get the same VPN I use. Take back your online privacy today and use my link to get 3 extra months free. That's expressvpn.com/Merle, expressvpn.com/Merle. Thanks so much to ExpressVPN for sponsoring this video, and thank you for watching. Be sure to stay tuned right here for more news updates, box office, movie reviews, and more. Until next time, stay safe, and I'll see you then. Bye.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.